There was a popular song that came out in 1965 by Jackie DeShannon called "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love." I'm guessing most of you, if not all of you, know this song and know it well. But I think what we need today is one that is called "What the World Needs Now is Repentance." True repentance. But I guess it wouldn't be much of a hit, would it? When I was looking at this topic, I typed in Google the following question: to repent or not to repent? That is the question. I was pleasantly surprised when AI gave me the following answer. The answer to the question "to repent or not to repent" is overwhelmingly "to repent." Amazingly, this was underlined and highlighted in bold letters. It went on to say, "Repentance is a core concept involving a fundamental change of mind and actions, a turning away from sin, and a turning towards God. It is often presented not as an option, but as a necessary command, a path to freedom from sin's torment, a way to receive God's forgiveness, and a means to enter into full righteous life with God." Good answer, isn't it? Repentance is not talked about today. Repentance is not a popular topic in today's culture. In fact, the opposite of repentance is what most people seem to promote. People parade for their right to hate. Others parade for their right to live immorally. Others for the normalisation of perversion, delusion, and blatant satanic worship. Things people used to hide in shame, they now openly proclaim, and the world is becoming more desensitised and acceptive of it. The sad truth is that the absence of guilt in today's society makes it hard to talk about repentance. If people have no feelings of guilt or remorse about what they do, then the need for repentance is not going to be recognised. Some see repentance as something that we do only if we get caught. I've even heard it said that repentance is an old dated concept and is not relevant to these new times, as we are now living in a time of being saved by grace. They don't realise that because we are sinners saved by grace, we still need to repent of sins when we realise that we have sinned. We really need some John the Baptist preaching in our world and our churches today. Have you ever thought of the significance of John's chosen place to baptise people? The Jordan River, that same river that Joshua crossed with the Israelites when they went into the Promised Land. That same river that when the priest stepped in with the Ark of the Covenant, the waters dried up until everybody had crossed over to the other side. That same river where leaders from every tribe took a stone and made an altar signifying what God had done, so throughout the years they and their children would remember those things. It had a significance to his audience. Our reading today said that people came from all the Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem came to hear his message. What was his message? It was a message of repentance. It was a message of, you are all sinners in need of forgiveness. You need to repent and be made right with God. He spoke of the one to come, Jesus, and how he would be more powerful and baptised not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. It was not a lovey-dovey feel-good message. It was a direct and powerful hit to where they needed it most, their heart. And it worked. People came in large numbers to be baptised by him. Sometimes the cold hard truth is what we just need to repent and get in a right relationship with God. And the only way we can do that is to repent and believe in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This isn't a new concept. It is all the way through the Bible. The Israelites were told time and time again to repent of their ways. God sent the prophet after prophet to tell them of their need to stop sinning and repent of their ways and turn back to the one true living God. Jonah's message to Nineveh was for them as a nation to repent. Psalm 51 is a whole psalm of repentance by David after he sinned with Bathsheba. Repent. It's an important subject. In fact, Mark tells us in verse 15, just after a reading today, that Jesus' first declaration to all was, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." So, what is repentance? A Sunday school teacher once asked a class what was meant by the word repentance. A little boy stood up and put up his hand and said, "It's being sorry for your sins." A little girl also raised her hand and said, "It is being sorry enough to quit." And that pretty much nails it, doesn't it? Repentance is not just being sorry, it's about change. It's not just saying sorry to God, it's asking him to help us change that part of our life that covets the sin that we keep on doing. Or change the desires we have that makes us crave time and time again to do the same thing. We can't come to God and say sorry for our sin, then turn around and commit the same one again and again, and come back and say sorry again. That isn't repentance. If there isn't a change, then there isn't repentance. "The devil made me do it," some may say. Goes back to the Garden of Eden and the original sin, doesn't it? Don't take the blame for your sins. Blame somebody else or something else. Well, here is a truth for you. The devil tempts us, but he can't force us to do anything. We have to be willing. As a nation, there also needs to be repentance. The Israelites were called as a nation to repent. The prophets went to the rulers of the land and laid down God's law before them and proclaimed the need for repentance, or they would be destroyed. Our Western civilizations were founded on Christian principles. But sadly, if you look around the world today, you wouldn't realise that, would you? Every day it seems to be getting worse. We're on a downward spiral that keeps getting faster and faster. God's holy distinctions are constantly under attack and becoming blurred. The distinction of creator and creation has also been challenged these days. We have forgotten to worship the creator, and instead we worship the created. "I'm my own God. I will worship the sun, moon, or whatever takes my fancy." The distinctions of male and female is in our face every day. God didn't make a mistake. He created two sexes. To say you're in the wrong body is to say that God, as creator, got it wrong. while I say, no, he didn't. Our world, in all its evilness and sinfulness, has got it wrong. And no matter what you say or think, it will never be right. The distinction of the holy and the profane is changed. I challenge you to get through one day without seeing or witnessing the holy name of God being taken in vain. Our Lord and Saviour's name is used as a swear word. His name is used in unbecoming situations. He is mocked and ridiculed in worldwide events. Take the Paris Olympics. The church is made out to be weak in most TV shows, and those that do try to be decent always succumb to the world's teaching and compromise for the sake of peace, and I guess the audience watching them. The distinction of good and evil has also been attacked. The world has blurred the lines as to what constitutes good and evil. If it feels right to me, who are you to say that it is wrong? Murder is acceptable if it is an abortion or euthanasia. We can justify killing by dehumanising the victims. We need to quit trying to make excuses and call it for what it is. People do terrible things, and it's because of sin in their lives and our lives. Glenda showed me an interview she came across the other day, and it was very telling. A journalist, I think he was a Christian, was interviewing an archdeacon of the Anglican Church in England. He was high up in the hierarchy of the church. The interviewer asked this deacon why he was coming out and saying that he supported abortion. The deacon went on to say that he and most of his associates in the synod agreed that abortion was okay because the victim was not human yet. The interviewer then made the very startling and powerful statement. He said, "Therefore, you are denying the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ then. His humanity came from his mother Mary, where he was formed in her womb. His human traits and his characteristics were produced there, and he became Jesus." The archdeacon stopped and literally just chewed his tongue, saying, he didn't have an answer. He didn't have an answer for that. Then the interview stopped. I hope his whole outlook changed after that question, but I doubt it. As I said, there is a great need for repentance in the world today, not only in the world, but sadly also in the church. Jesus calls five of the seven churches in Revelation to repent. That's right, five out of seven. How telling is that? We pray for revival. We need revival. But before we can truly experience revival, we must first experience repentance. Some will say, we can't preach on that, or we'll drive people away from the church. But it ought to be something that drives us to our knees. Repentance should cause us to take up our cross and follow him. Repentance should show an unbelieving, sinful world that Jesus is real. He makes a difference. He came to save each and every sinner who repents and calls on his name. Repent and be saved, or stay in your sin and be condemned. They are your only two options. That should be our message, unpopular or not. Where are our John the Baptist today? We really need them. I guess, like most of us, they are hiding. Those who stand up sadly are targeted and silenced. Loss of jobs, income, even their lives. As with John, he was beheaded for calling out the sin in the life of Herod and his unlawful relationship with his brother's wife. Each of the apostles came to a gruesome end because of their message, apart from John, although his life was certainly not easy and he had his fair share of horrors to deal with. Paul, if ever there was a changed man, then he is a prime example. Christian killer, met with the Lord Jesus, repented of his sins, and what a change that made in his life and testimony. Let me explain his life to you. He went and reasoned with the hostile, unbelieving population in the public square, and it got heated every time he did. When he started being successful and people started believing his message, his opponents, what they did was to start selectively picking out bits of his sermons, took them out of context and edit them to suit their own narrative. They were saying that Paul was saying things like, "Let us do evil so that good may abound." What he actually said was in Romans 3, "But if our righteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us?" I am using human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, "Let us do evil, that good may result"? Or Paul, he said that Moses and the law didn't count anymore. Also out of context and not true. He said, continuing on in Romans 3, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too?" Yes, of Gentiles too. "Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." Or Paul, he's defiling the temple in Acts 21. "When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and silenced him, shouting, 'Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone, everywhere against our people, our law, and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place.'" There were mobs in all the public forums. Sometimes these mobs got violent. He got beaten, he was stoned, he was lashed, he was imprisoned. And when he started gaining the hearts and trusts of the people, when he was bringing the new generation into the light of Jesus Christ, he was killed. Sounds familiar? The last couple of weeks, a young fellow was doing that around the universities, got killed. Why are these things happening today? Well, it's because the same spirits are still working in the world today. The same demons are at work today. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spirits of this world. But our Lord and Saviour is above all of those things. Millions of people throughout all generations have come to the knowledge of their need to repent and live for their Saviour Jesus. through hearing the Word of God, the whole Word of God. Not just the feel-good bits, but the confronting bits, the depths of the soul-piercing bits. Millions are coming to believing faith in Jesus today, due to the hearing, due to hearing the truth being spoken, of seeing people dying for their faith and the power of the world being proclaimed in all its entirety. I'm heartened when I see full stadiums of people wanting to hear about the gospel. I'm heartened when I see people stopping in the street to talk to each other about the Lord. I'm heartened when I hear of people saying, "I'm not a churchgoer, but now I want to be." There is a revival happening today, praise the Lord. But can we be ready for that here? Let us repent of all our problems and all our sins, and may we come to our Lord and love him. Let us pray. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, help us as a church, Lord, to grow stronger and stronger in your name. Let us get rid of the wishy-washy and let us come in strength and love for you. O Lord, may this church be open and may you use us as you will and in your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.